You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We are back. Second half of the show is live. We'll head out to Norman in a couple of moments, find out about the Sooners. Yes, the Sooners as they get ready for SEC play. Let's continue with more calls, and Sheila is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Sheila.
Paul Feinbaum, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing better hearing from you.
Yeah, let's do it. First of all, to all of the listeners, this is women's basketball. If you haven't seen it in a long time, you have not been watching. And if you go back into where these young ladies who are ballers are coming from, I mean, I went to a high school in Flint, Michigan, and our high school was always balling like that. It was a balling the whole time. So women's basketball has now been on this major spotlight. Gamecocks of South Carolina, as you know, was undefeated. LSU is already LSU in football and basketball, softball and track. It don't matter. It's LSU. It is LSU. They just are who they are. So my thing is, what Dawn Staley should have apologized. And I'm with you, Paul. I'm with you. The refs have to control the game. This is not your child's girls basketball team. This is women's basketball. They go hard in the paint. They go hard like any guy's team. And, like, you, it's serious when you were trying to knock off the number one team that's been around for what, Paul, 10 years?
Oh, yeah.
Dawn Staley been around, right?
Longer than that.
And I do think with the one guy from New York, I mean, dude, this is not your little girl's basketball team. These girls come through AAU. That's rough. Their high schools, wherever they come from, it's serious in girls basketball. And then now you got to be a good girl in college sports basketball. And you should be a sportswoman or man or whatever you want to call it this week. But at the end of the day, I understand Dawn Staley did the right thing. She apologized for her team. It got heated. It's 2 minutes. I watched that game, and I watched highlight after highlight. I saw the rush. I saw the push coming. And this is what the LSU coach meant. I wish you would have rolled up on Angel Reese, because it wouldn't have went down like that, because we all know Angel Reese is going hard. She's coming back at you. And I don't think she meant any harm by it, but she was just saying, hey, if you really want to go down with a fight, then roll up on Angel Reese and get some of this. Paul?
Yeah, no, I think what Mulkey said was blown a little bit out of proportion. Because of the, she was reacting. But most important, and Sheila, you understand that she was defending her player. Coaches do that whether they're right or wrong.
Yeah, they do. And I think that was, you know, after her apology, you know, 6 players kicked out of that. And after the apology, she just felt compelled. I think you're right. Because, you know, to say something, because, you know, she's been hard on her girls. She's been hard on Angel Reese and the whole demeanor. But let's go and compare LSU basketball.
But I think, I'm looking at a headline now from The Athletic that says the melee marred a women's the weekend. It did not mar it. It was talked about because we live in you used to work in TV. We live in a video-oriented world. I've watched the video, and by the way, there's not that much to it.
Nope, it's not.
Thank goodness.
I'm agreeing with you all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the guy, the brother or the cousin, I don't know, the guy that came out of the stands. I mean, that, yeah. I mean, that happens. I mean, how many times have you seen, I've seen that a million times.
Big brother, little sister.
Sure.
Big brother, little sister. I mean, I'm just calling you.
I would have, if it had been my sister, I probably would have been as foolish as he was.
You probably would have, Paul, knowing you. You definitely would have done it. I mean, my big brother would have done it.
I've told you this story before, haven't I, Sheila, about somebody we both knew. I was with Barkley at 3 a.m. in Scottsdale, Arizona, about 25 years ago with Gene Hallman. And we were sitting there, and there were four guys at the next table, and they were Native Americans, and they started hassling Barkley. And I guess who stood up? I stood up. I was sitting next to Barkley, and I stood up because I had had enough of it. I took one step, and this gigantic arm brought me back and put me in my chair, and it was Barkley. He said, "Shut the." I won't say what he said. We don't need that right now, okay? But I mean, I was emboldened, and you know why I was emboldened? Because I had Charles Barkley next to me.
Well, that's why you have the best show on and TV to me, because I remember how you came up, and you are who you are. And again, all the guys who are commenting on this, I get it, but you know how many NBA brawls we saw this weekend?
Oh, sure.
You know how many college hoops, I'm watching it, you know, we're going into March Madness. Well, we're already there. It's already March, but the women's teams are just as rough. So get over it, guys. This is women's basketball. Thank God these two coaches are a class act. But they may meet again, Paul. So
oh, no. At that point, everyone will, as we used to say, get a good talking to.
Oh, yeah. The NCAA is going to talk to somebody. I just don't know who it is and when it's going to be.
But once again, like it or not, the women's basketball has overshadowed the men for about the 16th straight weekend.
Hey, these are some girls that ain't playing, and they're trying to, it's a sport, and they are sports people, just like anybody else, and women's basketball has been doing this, Paul, as you know, a long time. Like you said, it just kind of got, it got highlighted. It was the game of the weekend, and who knew? But I want to commend, I think you're right, I think we got to go back to the refs, and if you want to calm it down, then it starts with the referees to calm it down, because you can only do so much with those sports people. When you're in the moment, and you're trying to knock off number one, and this is a, then there, it is what it is, the emotion comes out in the last 2 minutes, and you're close. Any of us could put ourselves in that situation. And do you tell yourself, Paul, when you're about to go hard in the paint, do you say, oh, I guess I better be calm right now?
No, that's not how it works. Hey, Shugo, always great to hear from you.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you very much. Let's continue here with Joey in Alabama. Hello, Joey.
Hey, Paul, it's Joey from Springville, Alabama. Hey, they any way I can deliver a message over your TV show?
Of course.
Okay, this is AJ. AJ last week said something. He said I couldn't afford him, but I know in the conversations you never bring up Mama's name in it. I'm going to let that AJ know with that little boy haircut he's got. I'm a hop, skip, jump from him. I mean, Mana's the one who saved him. I stayed here, but he needs respect. You don't never bring Mama's name up. That's all I got to say about that. Can I ask you one other question?
Of course.
Hey, in the SEC championship game, are we going to have that in Atlanta, or are we going to have one?
Right now, it's going to be in Atlanta until we are told otherwise. Thank you for the call. Great to hear from you. Kevin is in North Carolina. Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, hey, Paul. Thanks for letting me visit again.
Thank you.
Let me bounce a formula off you in regard to the college football playoff. It seems so obvious this should have been from the get-go. And indulge me for a couple minutes here, and I'll just get your feedback, buddy. Okay, so it should have been 16 teams picked by computers, okay, with all nine conference champs in, and seven at large, making 16. That way, nobody would get a bye. There would be no home field advantage. The game should be played in bowls. Okay, so you got 8, 4, 2, and 1. That would be 15 bowls staggered all the way from Charlotte to San Diego and every place in between. And the bowls, those 15 bowls were bid on getting in, take the 15 highest paying bowls to get in. And that would save two more bowls. Bowls are dying, Paul, okay? We need to save two more bowls. Having two more bowls in there means you get more money from the networks and more money to distribute to everybody. Now, here's the part I know you're going to object to. I would only have three schools from each conference max, okay? Three schools from each conference max. The idea is to save college football. And it seems so obvious that should be the thing. It would take a lot of subjectivity out of this, and it would save college football, save bowls. And the only kick in the head here is that the highest eight-seeded teams would get preference to geography. So in other words, if there's a Texas school in there, they would go to the Sun Bowl, for instance, in El Paso. The highest eight would get preference to the bowl geography-wise. I know it would put some burden on the travel, but I don't understand why this wasn't from the get-go.
Yeah, Kevin, let me jump in quickly. I appreciate where you are. Unfortunately, this thing is now pretty much written in stone. I think it's a great idea, but they're not going to listen to you or me. We're up against a break. Barry Trammell will join us in just a minute. The latest on OU's opening of spring ball.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Spring practice opening at a number of places and still a few more to capture in, and one of those places, and we've never celebrated the opening of a spring practice in Norman, Oklahoma, for a lot of good reasons, but that has changed today. It's not July 1st, but Oklahoma is now on our distinct radar screen, and who better to talk to than the legendary sports columnist and podcaster now in Norman, my friend Barry Trammell from Sellout. Barry, we talked to you a few weeks ago on a rather sad subject, the loss of your friend and partner, Toby Keith. Today, hopefully we can get back to the field. Good afternoon, and what do we know about the Sooners as spring ball begins?
Well, everything's brand new, Paul, including what you have to worry about. I mean, this is a program that's written offense for most of the last 10 years with Heisman trophies and number one draft picks at quarterback and record-setting offenses. And this year, it looks like the defense is actually going to not be bad, and the offense has a bunch of holes. So everything's new as they go into the SEC, a rough schedule, and Brent Venables has a major rebuilding job to do on the offensive side of the ball.
Last year, certainly a bounce back after a dismal first season, as we have discussed. Vegas doesn't seem to be overly impressed with what they're seeing. The over and under is very low. How is that being greeted by the Sooner fans used to being in playoffs and contending for national championships?
Well, yeah, it's a very skeptical. You know, there's conspiracy theories against Vegas. And then you start going down the schedule, the SEC schedule, and, you know, the wins don't come cascading down. I mean, the non-conference is very easy. Should be four victories there, but you look at what the Sooners have. They go to Auburn. They go to Ole Miss. They go to LSU. They go to Missouri. And then Alabama and Tennessee come to Norman. So, you know, if you want to get to 9 wins, let's say, 5-3 in the SEC, you know, you can find 5 wins there, but they don't come easily and they don't come automatic. And it's going to be a tight fit for the Sooners to have anywhere close to the kind of season they're accustomed to having and they think they want to have.
And listen, everybody has dealing with schedules. We had a caller a minute ago talking about how easy the Longhorns schedule is comparatively. After a second look, it really didn't look all that difficult. Your schedule does look very challenging out there. You mentioned what Venables is trying to salve up on both the offensive and defensive side, but tell us a little more about what this offense is going to look like. We're so used to legendary quarterbacks at OU.
Well, 2 things have happened. One is the offensive line was wiped out by graduation or early entry into the NFL and the transfer portal. And this has been a source of strength for the Sooners for a long time. Have to totally remake the offensive line. Doesn't seem like a good idea your first year in the SEC. From what we're told, they have a defensive lineman or two in the SEC. So bad timing on that front for the Sooners. And on top of that, breaking in a new quarterback, and it's not a ready-made quarterback like Jalen Hurts or Dylan Gabriel or whoever, Kyler Murray, whoever might be transferring in, Jackson Arnold, ballyhooed recruit a year ago, one of the nation's top prospects, backed up last season under Gabriel, played in the Alamo Bowl, played pretty well, but then threw a variety of late picks that submarined that bowl game. And now, I was just looking at some charts today, Jackson Arnold would probably rank somewhere in the middle of the SEC in terms of if you're ranking quarterbacks. Let me promise you, it's been a long time since the Oklahoma had a quarterback in the middle of the conference in which it was playing. So this is foreign territory. They got an unproven quarterback, great prospect, great hype, but he's unproven, and he's playing behind a new line. The ball carriers, the pass catchers, the running backs, those guys are going to have to play really well, I think, for the Sooner offense to be anything like Oklahoma's accustomed to.
Barry, we talked, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, and you were explaining to me a little bit about what we do here every day, talk to fans, that some of the fans that you had met with and talked to on a regular basis were apprehensive a little bit, excited, but concerned about the entry into the SEC. Then a good season followed, and maybe that was taken care of a little bit. But where are OU fans now? I mean, you know, I realize basketball is going on, baseball, softball, all the things that OU is so good at, but the football is here now for the SEC. This is where it's at. Where are your fans?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of excitement when you look at the names on the schedule, when you look at the trips that are coming in October and November, places they've never been, Baton Rouge, Oxford, Auburn, places they've heard about all their lives, and the excitement level for those games is really high. But it's a little bit like going into the unknown, and there's no coming back now. This is not pristine Oklahoma. This is not the Oklahoma roster of 2017 or 2019, the roster that Bob Stoops set up so well, the roster that Lincoln Riley maintained for a couple of years. This is a roster that was falling off in Lincoln's later years and has not been patched up to the degree it needs to be under Brent Venables. So this is, it reminds me of my wedding day. My wife tells the story that the last thing her dad said to her before they walked into the church and walked down the aisle, she said, "Hey, if you're not sure, we can turn around and go the other way." The Sooners don't have that option. They can't turn around and go back to the Big 12. They're in the SEC. They got to make it work. But as the closer it gets, the more reality sinking in that, hey, this is going to be a bullfight every night in the SEC, and the expectation level, the desire of this program is probably going to have to take a change. Going to be a couple years before they can recalibrate and see exactly where they fit in the SEC.
Yeah, Barry, my sources tell me your wife modestly pleased with the marriage. I mean, it's gone on a few years now, hasn't it?
Well, for 43 and a half years. We'll see if We'll see if it lasts.
That's pretty amazing, 43 years. We'll save that for when we come out to Norman and we have a little have a few maybe drinks in us and we're a little looser than that. So let me get to what your thoughts are about this team. I realize the schedule speaks for itself. Can this team get to double digits, knowing that schedule? Assuming though that the non-conference is pretty well taken care of.
Yeah, you know, if they win all their home games, which would include beating Alabama, so I mean that's a big if. Well, then you got to beat Texas. You got to find you'd have to find three wins on the road or in Dallas against Texas. So you know the schedule did Oklahoma no favorites. You know, I haven't studied the SEC schedules. I don't know who's got a tough one. I don't know who doesn't. I know that OU and Texas have split all the opponents. The teams that OU's playing, Texas is not, vice versa. OU got the short end of this straw. They only have three home games in the league. Texas has four. Texas got Vanderbilt. Oklahoma did not. So those kinds of things tilted Texas way. In theory, they'll tilt back the Sooners way next year. But this first year, they're going to have to win some places that won't be easy. Ole Miss, everybody thinks the Rebels are going to be good. They got to go to Oxford. Everybody knows LSU will be a rattlesnake, and they got to go to Baton Rouge. Missouri looks better. We'll see. They certainly were last season. Can they keep it up? Sooners go to Columbia. I remember the Oklahoma going to Columbia, you know, for the better part of 80 years, but these players don't. To them, Missouri's a good football team that Oklahoma doesn't necessarily dominate. So this is it's going to be a stiff test to get to 10 wins. If they get to 10 wins, I would think Venables, I don't know if that gets him to Atlanta or not. Might need 11 to get to Atlanta. But if he gets to 10 wins, he'll definitely be in the running for SEC Coach of the Year. I've seen the Vegas numbers at 7.5 and 8.5. If they go over 8.5 wins, they get to 9 wins. I think that's a heck of a season.
Finally, Barry, I mean, I feel like I know some of these things from just following college football. We know Texas. We know Missouri has been there a long time. What other, and I know Tennessee because of Heupel, but what are the rivalries that OU fans are excited about other than the obvious? I mean,
well, one is, and they don't even play this year, one is Arkansas. You know, you can get to Norman or Oklahoma City. Norman's 20 miles south of Oklahoma City. You can get from here to Fayetteville, Arkansas, in about 3.5 hours. And if you're lead-footed, you can get there quicker because it's turnpike almost all the way, and we got some high speed limits on the Oklahoma turnpikes. And yet they haven't played in the regular season. I think it was 1920 was the last time. Over 100 years, and it's next to Oklahoma State and TCU. It's the closest major college power conference school to Norman, and yet they never play. And so that's sort of an exciting one. You know, Texas A&M is an old rival from Big 12 days. Everybody loves the fighting Texas Aggie band. So that's a renewal. And then places, outside of that, it's a bunch of new stuff. You know, Sooners have never played in Athens, Georgia. They've never played in Gainesville, Florida. They've never played in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It never has made sense to me, but historically, OU's non-conference schedule always looked more to the Pac-12 and the Southwest Conference and even the Big Ten more than the SEC. So there's not a ton of history there. Sooners start making that history this season.
We can't wait to get to know more about it. We'll see you out in Norman, hopefully before this season. Barry, always great to have you on. Barry Trumbull, a legendary figure in Norman and Oklahoma City. We'll take a short break. Have plenty of time for your phone calls as we continue on a Monday afternoon.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We'll be back. Busy afternoon. Many, many guests. Time for your phone calls now. It's after school, so let's head to Pittsburgh and talk to Dominic.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
Dominic, what's up?
Nothing much. I got to stay home from school today because I had strep.
You had strep?
Yeah, strep throat.
How you doing?
I'm feeling a little bit better.
Okay, well, that can be a serious thing.
Yeah, but I wanted to talk to you about some Crimson Tide basketball and football.
Okay.
Did you see that Sears made first team All-SEC?
I think he deserved it. Yeah.
He's definitely a really good player. And okay. I'm really excited for the conference tournament this weekend. Hopefully the Tide can play some good D to go along with their offense and win the ship. I believe Coach Oates will lead them to victory and stomp on every other team's throats.
I'm curious, Dominic, what have you seen lately that would make you think they're going to win the tournament?
Well, I just think Coach Oates and the Bama boys got that dog.
Dominic, I hate to burst your bubble while you're sick, but they needed a miracle comeback against one of the worst teams in the SEC Saturday at home on Senior Day.
Yeah, they might have not been feeling it. They might have been a little hungover from their college parties.
Yeah, well, Nashville for sure there won't be any issue about being out late in Nashville. Not much to do there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but now in regards to Bama football and all those naysayers that said Coach Debo can't recruit, Bama 2.0 is on a hot streak, Paul. 5-star Ryan Williams, a.k.a. Hollywood, flipped 4-star Coleman from Auburn, 4-star Derek Smith, 4-star Zymir Smith, plus all the potential portal additions. And what a start for Coach Debo and his staff. And I heard there's a 5-star player from Auburn wanting out of his NIL to transfer to Bama.
Were you? Who are your sources on this, Dominic?
I don't know. I know a couple people.
Well, could you maybe steer them my way? I don't have any sources like that.
Well, guess I'm just the man, Paul.
Yeah, I guess you are.
Whole damn time, Paul. See you later, buddy.
Yeah. Richard in North Carolina. Hello, Richard. Hey, Richard, are you there?
I know.
We'll give him a couple of seconds. He's obviously...
Yeah.
Okay, good to have you on, Richard. Thank you for being there for us.
Okay.
I know Dominic is fascinating, but I'll tell you what he said if you want to join us.
Yeah, I heard him.
Okay, good.
Yeah, this is for me now, Richard.
Yeah, Richard, R-I-C-H-A-R-D, Dick
H-A-R-D.
For sure.
You got it. Yeah, one thing I wanted to say, you know, the other day when AJ said about he didn't want any politics on the show, but it's kind of hard not to. You got your two best-known coaches in the state of Alabama, and
right.
One's going to be a ESPN analyst, and the other is a sorry excuse for a senator in Washington. So you know if you're going to talk about them, you got to talk about what they've done. But anyway, I think he's upset that you're criticizing his former Auburn coach. But I just wanted to get that in there. And, you know, you were talking about the situation, the football situation at Alabama, and it's true that DeBoer is really a good coach. But I have a question for you. What do you think? I was really worried. Well, I mean, you know, and they did get a good coach, but I kind of breathed a sigh of relief when Alabama did not get Dan Lanning.
Yeah, Richard, I think Dan Lanning probably would invoke a little more fear in the people. I think DeBoer is excellent, but again, the biggest unknown is not Kalen DeBoer. It's replacing Nick Saban. And,
oh, it is. It is.
Yeah, but it doesn't really matter. You can line up everybody, and it's still the same issue.
Yeah. But the fact was, I mean, you know, that he had been had a pedigree, you know, down here in the South too, and that I really think Alabama probably would have been able to keep those stars. But like you say, you know, that's just a supposition that whether they would or not.
I mean, there were some huge losses. I mean, you can't replace Caleb Downs, and I think the quarterback saying was a tremendous loss too. But it's really it's not about DeBoer's pedigree, which is fantastic. It's not about his record, which you don't get that job unless you check all the boxes. How does he handle the intangibles? And nobody knows that answer.
No. I mean, it's got yet to be proven out. That's true. And one other thing, we're talking about, you know, the football championship playoffs, and you know how they should distribute the positions to the different leagues. What would they think of the idea that, you know, how they do in baseball, where they have, you know, they determine who's going to be, whether it's going to be the National or the American League that gets the first game by the All-Star game?
Yeah, I mean, Richard, it, that's not how it's going to be done here. And listen, the SEC has every right, thanks for the call, to want to get more money. I mean, it's been holding this tournament up for years with all of its, by the way, I mean, I can't blame them. And the Big Ten is now their new drafting partner, so they're going along as well. But this is about money. It's not about automatic bids or anything else. Quick break. More to come right after this.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Away from the NCAA, the caller bracket on the Feinbaum Show. This is a projection. That's all it is. We've lost friends over the projections. It will change. Right now, this is the field. Legend remains the number one seed. Remember, Jim is not in the tournament because he asked to be removed. He is not even eligible for the NIT. He can work it. All he needs is the request a way back in before next Monday. One of the top seeds is on the horn right now. Larry, good afternoon.
What's up? You didn't think I was going to miss that one, did you?
I thought you might, Larry. I was wrong.
I'm doing good, man. Hey, you know what? I'm going to tell you this right now. On notice, people, get your teams on notice. as Bama, I don't care. Saban's gone. That's okay. But that boy is doing some recruiting, Jack. He got one out of Michigan, a badass transfer. And all these people call in, ain't doing nothing. But like Jim and AJ, it sound like they pulling exorcism on each other. I mean, damn, boy, come on. One more religious than the other. Come out, devil. I mean, ain't nobody talking about football, but you better be talking about Alabama, Paul Feinbaum. They have got a team, Jack. They loaded, baby. They are kicking ass. They are recruiting. It's awesome, man. But how you been doing, man? You have a good weekend?
Larry, everything's doing great. I'm just so glad to hear from you. I was worried about you.
Yeah, I've been hurting, man. I got to go to the ER in the morning, but I'll be all right.
What do you need? What's wrong now, Larry? I mean, what is it? What's right, I should say?
Veins in my foot busted, and I got a big knot, and I'm just worried about it. I'm going to go there and let them look at it.
Okay.
But I hope to God, I pray to God.
Well, Larry, if you need any help, feel free to drop the show's name. That's helped you before at the hospital.
Yeah, man. I'm going to tell you something. God took care of me, brother. I'll put it in his hands.
Okay.
But listen, you ain't got much time, man. I'm going to let some other people get on here. But roll tide, Paul Feinbaum. Let me hear it, boy.
Roll tide, Larry.
Woo!
Larry in a good mood on the way to the ER. Shane is up next. Hello, Shane.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Paul Feinbaum from Rocky Top.
Yes, sir.
Tennessee. Just wanted to say something about Johnny B and Todd. I think they should be up on the list. That's just my opinion. They're kind of real. Why does all the Alabama fans put Caitlin, Mr. DeBoer, on the witness stand and the trial ain't even out, the jury? I mean, the guy, he needs a chance to prove himself.
He'll get plenty of opportunity first week of the season.
Yeah, and then just Tennessee men's basketball, Paul. What do you think about the three-day SmackDown that's coming up? Can they do it Friday?
Yeah, I mean,
Thursday,
I think they
Sunday?
Can. I mean, I listen, coaches always say a loss can help you, and I think that one hurt the other day, but it was understandable. It was a revenge game for Kentucky. They had wrapped up the league a couple of days earlier, so that one may not have been a big deal. I know that sounds blasphemous, saying losing to Kentucky is not a big deal. It is, but they're in good shape. Tennessee is, to me, one of the top four teams in the country. Let's check in with Augie up next.
Paul, I got a suggestion for you. When you get a call from somebody who's listening to the previous caller in the background, and his name is Richard, just hang up on him. You're too tolerant, Paul.
Well, Augie, I'm really too nice a person, if I could speak of myself in third person. But I care about the callers. And Augie, if you're sitting around watching TV, you may not be glued to your phone. It's not the easiest thing to do. I mean, you're a celebrity caller, so we call you, unlike that guy.
I'm a celebrity caller. So are you recommending that I go to the Dollar General store and get a T-shirt made with those felt letters that says Augie of the Feinbaum Show and
Augie, you're putting down people very close to us and mean a lot. I don't appreciate
it. I'm not naming anybody.
You're reverting right back to your normal role as an arrogant, despicable attorney.
Well, I got to say, Paul, you're slipping because you're supposed to give us news and what's going on in the SEC. We got to rely on a 12-year-old in Pittsburgh to let us know that Alabama is poaching Auburn players.
I didn't know that. I can't believe I missed that in my normal roundup of legitimate journalistic sources.
Well, obviously, this 12-year-old is figuring things out.
Well,
but
I mean, Dominic, by the way, he's had more time than I have. I'm not home sick with strep.
I missed that part.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. He's home. By the way, if you're home today with strep, you better be home tomorrow, unless you want to infestate the entire Pittsburgh school system.
Well, you know, do you think he really has strep or is he playing hooky?
Well, I mean, the times I have had strep, usually it's diagnosed by a professional.
Okay. Well, who diagnosed
you? You just don't like stick your finger in your throat. And go, hey, I've got strep.
Paul, I've got to say this. Had we this past football season had the tenacity, the grit, the guts of the LSU women's basketball team on our defense, we would have been undefeated, Paul.
You're right.
With that offense we had.
I recommend so, Kim Mulkey coach the defense next year.
That's what I recommend. That's my call for the day. I'm going out on a high note. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very, very much, Augie. Always, it really wasn't a pleasure, but I said it just to be nice. Michael is up next.
You're funny, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. How are you, Michael?
Yes, Michael.
Yeah, hell? Michael. We're not interrupting you, are we?
No, hell no. I was watching this guy talking on your show. Listen, Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm doing all right, sir. I'm talking about the NCAA. It's over. NIL done done that. But I was going to see what you say about The Rock coming to Birmingham, Alabama, the UFL.
Oh, yeah. You know, I saw The Rock this year at the Rose Bowl. He is one intimidating man.
He is very excited about that.
You could literally crack an egg on his shoulder.
Hey, you know, that's true. I wouldn't do it, though. But I was going to say,
my goal one day is to be have the same physique at The Rock. And it will happen before you know it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.